the Lord. Amen. Our daddy and our God, we want to thank you for this special day. As we remember, O Lord, the price you paid on the cross.
Everybody to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My prayer for you is that every entrapment of the enemy over your life shall be broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." Another one says, Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Take them and go. Make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28 from verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. My prayer for you is that anything and everything that will deny the power of God in your life, anything and everything that will defy the power of God in your life, shall become history from today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I say praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful day that Jesus died and he rose again. What will our story have been without the death and resurrection of Jesus? As I've shared with us before, I've read the English translation of the Quran. At least that part. I can't remember which ayat and which surah now, but I remember reading it quite clearly that Jesus will come back again. Praise the Lord. How many of us who are Muslim, used to be Muslim here? Is it there in the Quran? Okay, so if you have not read it, ayat 42. I can't remember now precisely. But what is the explanation? They said that, they said Jesus will come back. First of all, the explanation was that they were not able to catch him, that he was too powerful, and that he did not actually die because he escaped. Two, they believe that he's going to come back and he's going to tell you that there is another prophet that came after him. Praise the Lord. But it's written there. The message I want us to take home is that Jesus is coming back again. If he had not risen, if death had overpowered him, we would not have the hope of him coming back again. And there is no other religion in which the leaders can boast of having eternal life and coming back again. And as I've just told you, it is not just the Bible that attests to it, even the Quran attests to it that Jesus is coming again. So this morning, I want to share with us a message titled No Free Lunch. Praise the Lord. No what? No free lunch. Because ours is a message of grace. Ours is a message of mercy. Ours is a message of finished work on the cross of Calvary. But it costs somebody something. Every time you are invited to somewhere and they say rice and soup very plenty, the rice and soup don't just suddenly appear from the sky. They come because somebody paid for it. And so the salvation that you and I have is paid for by somebody. As we go through this period, I want us to think of what it cost Jesus to set us free and at liberty. That freedom you will have indeed in Jesus' name. In all the processes, all the things that went on, we may never be able to truly capture them in our hearts. All the things that went on before Jesus was nailed to the cross, and even the things that happened after his resurrection. Can you imagine people fighting you? And they fought you until you die. And even after you are dead, they won't leave you alone. Praise the Lord. That was what happened to Jesus. That's why they said, look, he better go and secure the place, otherwise they may come and steal him and take his reason. So even after his death, and even up till today, after his death, he's still being persecuted. That's Jesus, who Jesus is. He's the dividing line. He is the separator. And he has separated you unto himself. You will fulfill your purpose in him in Jesus' name. No free lunch. On Friday, we looked at what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus went and was agonizing, he was praying. The Bible said the sweat that came out of him was like drops of blood, because he saw what was about to happen. Thank God. At the end of it all, he said to God, not my will, but thy will, but thy be done. He allowed God to have his way. God will have his way in your life in the name of Jesus. Jesus had to give up who he was. He met God. I mean, before he decided to carry out the assignment, not before he met God. He had been there from the beginning. Praise the Lord. He gave it all up so that God will have his way. And so when the crunch time came and there was no one else who could bear the work of the cross with him, he had to go it all alone. In our Christian journey, in times we come, when what God is asking you to do, only you, and only you, can respond appropriately. God will ask you to do some things. You will be seeking support in order to decide whether you are going to obey God or not. And support will not come. You have to decide that you will go the lonely road. It can be lonely. Jesus was lonely that night. He came to the disciples. He said, "You, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Can you not watch with me?" He went away. He came back. They were sleeping. He came back. They were sleeping. And they couldn't watch. He had to bear it alone. There are things we have to bear alone. In as much as we would like people to share it with us, it may not be possible. And I'm telling you, the extent of what God wants to do in your life may not be accomplished until you learn to go it alone. I was watching a Christian movie, and somebody asked there, Is it all right for a child of God to fall away and repent and come back and repent and come back? Is it okay? Is it acceptable? And the guy said yes. He said you can repent as many times as possible and come back again. He said, but there is something about it. He said, when you live a life like that, you can never achieve the ultimate of God for your life. Because you keep beginning again, you keep beginning again, you keep beginning again, and you will never reach to that height. Only those who will stand in the Garden of Gethsemane and face what the issue is and break through in him will attain to the highest purpose. You will attain to the highest purpose in Jesus' name. In this way that you have chosen, have you ever felt lonely? And not understood because of who you are in God. It can be lonely. Remember that God is on your side. It costs Jesus loneliness in order to break through. You will break through in Jesus' name. And it's not Jesus alone. I've shared with us before, Abraham too. When he came to the crunch that he had to sacrifice his son, Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22, verses 4 and 5, he said to the young man, he said, stay here and I will go yonder. He had to go it alone to make this sacrifice. And I remember I told people on Friday, as soon as Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done, something happened. Angels came and started ministering to him. Every time we take a stand, because Jesus took a stand, the angels came ministering to him, the angels will come ministering to you in the name of Jesus. It caught Jesus on kept promises. It was not just loneliness. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33 to 35. Let's read. In case you forget. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. No, 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Look at verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And look at the last part. Likewise also said all the disciples. Praise the Lord. Many a times when we talk about Peter, we think Peter was the only one who said it. All the other disciples said it. You see, there are some Christians who will say this because other people are saying it. He said, look, even if I'm going to die, I'm going to stand by you. And everybody is a pledge of allegiance. Everybody came in and said, yes, look, even if it means I'm going to die, I will stand by you. Everybody said, that's what I'm going to do. But when the crunch came, how many people were left? There was probably just one person that was left. Who was that person? It was only Peter, who was watching from afar. In fact, the women actually did better. If you go and read the story very well, the two Marys, they were close by. Up to the last moment, the two women actually did better. They followed. You may say they were being protected. Because they were women, nothing was going to happen to them. But the promise made was that even if it's going to come. And it's the same promise we make too, isn't it? When we give our life, we say the lordship of Jesus Christ. We say, no one joins me, still I will follow. No one joins me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That was what they said. He said, even with death, that was the pledge of allegiance of everyone. So what do you want Jesus to think? Do you want Jesus to think of the slaps that were given to him? Or to look around and just see that Peter was so far away? Praise the Lord. The person who was supposed to be close to you was not there. It can be very agonizing, isn't it? It cost Jesus failed promises. In fact, it cost Jesus betrayal by members of the inner caucus. I was telling my wife, in Australia, who takes the post of the treasurer in Australian politics? Is the deputy prime minister, yes. Which means, when the prime minister is not there, who steps in? Is the treasurer. If you don't trust somebody, if you don't hold them in a high esteem, you don't put them in charge of money, do you? You don't. Because you know that the ministry will run on what?
Money.
On money. The Yoruba say, let me put it in a very rough way. You know, the Yoruba, they are a tribe in Nigeria. They say money is the bicycle that the gospel rides. Praise the Lord. So, in other words, without money, it is difficult to preach the gospel. What do we mean? You want to broadcast, you want to be on the internet, you want to send pamphlets, they cost something. Yes, Judas was put in charge of that. So, in other words, you can say he was a member of the inner caucus. Because before you embark on a project, you have to know how much you've got. Jesus said, who amongst you will want to build a house and not sit down and calculate and think of how much it's going to cost them, lest they build it halfway and they're not able to finish? Or which king wants to go to war and will not sit down and decide how much force he needs to contend with the other king that is planning? So which means Jesus too was a planner. So they will sit down together and say, how much? No wonder that day when he had to feed the 5,000, he asked them, how much have we got left? He didn't even know. He had to ask the one who was holding the purse, how much have we got left? Yet, in Matthew 26, verse 50, the Bible said, and just to buttress the point that he was a member of the inner caucus, Matthew chapter 26, verse 50, says, and Jesus said unto him, what did he call him? Friend, wherefore to art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Another version says, Jesus said unto him, friend, for what are you here? Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. I'm sure there was no guide in Jesus. Jesus did not mean it for fun when he said friend. He was his friend. He was his friend. Indeed. He said, friend, why have you come at this time? It cost him the loss of friends. It cost him a betrayer. And you know, one of the questions I was asking was this. If Judas was true to his calling, like the other apostles, and he was always in the presence of God, what time did he have to conspire? Because everywhere Jesus went, the apostles went with him. Is that not so? It means there was a time that he was living in the presence of Jesus. In other words, when we choose to leave the presence of God, we are subject to corruption. Every time we choose to leave the presence of God, we are what? Subject to corruption. Because if he had kept his watch and had maintained his position in the presence of Jesus, he probably would not have been a victim. People will tell you, because Jesus said to Peter, he said, the devil wanted to sift you. He said, but I have prayed for you. People have said, maybe Peter, because the Bible says, go and read Psalm very well, he said, it has to be somebody who was close to Jesus who was going to do the job. It has to be somebody close to him. And it said that it was probably Peter, but Jesus prayed for Peter. Because Peter would never leave his presence. No wonder on the mountain of transfiguration, Peter was there. Everywhere Jesus was, Peter was there. That is why we cannot afford to leave the presence of God in all that we do, in our home, in our lives, in our car. You know, when we leave the presence of God, every time we do things that are ungodly, His presence cannot go with us. If He did not leave that presence, we wouldn't have had that opportunity. You will never leave His presence in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you have left before, you will return, and in His presence you will daily dwell in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
What will make you leave His presence? 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 say, those who will live godly in Christ Jesus, those who will live godly in Christ Jesus, we do what? We suffer persecution. So, it's not a good reason to leave His presence. You see, a lot of people will say, look, I stopped going to church because somebody offended me. I know a lot of people, and I've been telling you, it's never a good reason to leave His presence, because what is going to happen is this: by the time you leave His presence, all the demons you have overcome before, they will come back to your life. Have you seen the lives of people like that? Oh yeah, I know quite a few people. God has helped them to conquer drinking before. They now drink. Every moment you leave His presence, you are subject to attack. The Lord will cover you in Jesus' name. The ones, the friends they have left before, they now become His bosom friend. I've told you, you know, how people mock you. Particularly after you preach to them and you now come back, you know, and you start doing the same thing they are doing, and they just look at you, Pastor. They were not calling you Pastor before. Now that they know that you are back to your vomit, they say, Pastor. And you think, you know, maybe Bia has done that. Pastor. You are the one who was preaching to them. That will not be your story in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Is it the mockery we want to talk about? Matthew 26, 67 and 68. Then did they spit in His face and buffeted Him, and others smote Him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is He that smote thee? Can you imagine the suffering? He slapped Him around. How many of us have watched the Passion of the Christ? Oh, I've watched it a few times. And every time I watch that movie, I just cry. I weep. Like, I feel like weeping right now. The beatings. The mockery. Let me tell you something. They say, like father, like son. Like daughter, like mother, like daughter. Amen. If you have not started suffering for the gospel, then you have not started. Where will you say you got your home from? If you have not, I'm not talking about doing things that are ungodly and people punish you for it. I'm talking about you actually doing the right thing, standing for God, and being mocked, and being prophetic, and being asked. Did you not pray? How come this happened to you? When you say you call yourself a Christian, even those of us who are not Christian, this doesn't happen to us. I remember a very powerful man of God said he went to preach to one of his uncles. When he got to the uncle and preached to him, the uncle asked him to come. Took him on the tour of his house. He went, he opened the freezer. He said, look at this. It's full of pork. He said, proceed. He said, this is goat meat. This is beef. This is chicken. This is turkey. Freezer full of. He said, if your God cannot provide this for you, why will I follow your God? He said, you that you are suffering, and you are sleeping too. There was a time came when that same man lost he lost his job, that position he was holding. He used to tell people he couldn't eat pepper, they will now cook pepper soup for him and he will eat it. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. But let me tell you something, if you have not served God to the point that people deride you and make mockery of you, you have not prayed somewhere and people will, you know, they will make jest of you, they will say a stilted amen that you will just know that this is ridicule. If you haven't gotten to that point yet, then probably examine yourself. Because Jesus, he calls him something. He calls him being abandoned. He called Jesus being abandoned. In Matthew 26, verse 56, he said, but all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Until you start to get excluded from certain gatherings, there will be certain parties that people will just naturally not invite you to because of who you say you are. You say everybody, they did what? They fled, they abandoned him, they left. Until you have been excluded from certain gatherings, then you probably haven't started. Because Jesus been abandoned. In fact, the other thing is this. Somebody said, he said, you have not known God's blessing until God blesses you to the point that people become envious of you. So when you pray that God should bless you, that is one of the things that comes with the blessings of God, until people start to actually envy you. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 17 and 18. Matthew 27, 17 and 18. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Read verse 18. Can we read verse 18 together? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. So he actually knew God will bless you to the point of envy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Did you say amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it's not pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant. He said, he even knew that that was the reason. What about your testimony? Have people tried to defy your testimony before? Jesus had his testimony challenged. And there was a plan to defy his testimony. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 to 44. A testimony of who you say you are. When there start to be smear campaign against you, what you have not said is attributed to you. You start to get misunderstood in order to cause a blight on your name. Matthew 27:41 to 44. He said, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Even though they were in pain, they left there. You know, the thieves, they were like, okay, they too were mocking him, defiling his testimony. He testified of himself that he is the Son of God. Everything that wants to defile your testimony as a child of God will be nailed to the cross from today in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus has already suffered on the cross and paid for it, so that your testimony might stand. So that you will not be like them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Of course, we don't want to talk about the beating and the scourging. The only thing that has not happened to me is that I've not been physically beaten. I know it will be so terrible. If you have to be beaten, scourged, you know, it was terrible. At least what I saw from that movie was, you know. And what happens when you're on you? Have you ever been in that situation before? What do I mean by your body prefer to you? When you know you are doing the right thing, you are actually the one who is doing the right thing, and you are the one who is being punished. And you know that in this matter, you are the one who is doing what is right. You are the one who is doing the way it is meant to be done. You are the one who is doing it so. Yes, you are the one who is suffering. You are the one people are misunderstanding. You are the one rumors are going around town about you. You are the one that people are castigating. Jesus was in the same boat. Remember, he said, a servant cannot be greater than his master. If they did it to Jesus, they will do it to you. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 27, verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? He said, Barabbas. You just know you are doing the right thing. Yet the wicked is preferred to you. It can be painful. But we have not endured unto death yet. In other words, we have nothing to complain about in this walk as yet. Because this salvation, this grace we are talking about, cost somebody something. He that knew no sin was made a sin. Because it is said, the Bible says, cursed is the one that hung it on a tree. He became cursed that you might be free from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so, as we read from Matthew 27, verse 57, it did not start, it did an end with the death of Jesus. Even after he died. From verse 62. He said, they followed up on it. I said, sir, we have just remembered how that vagabond imposter said while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, give another to have the tomb made secure and safeguarded until the third day, for fear that his disciples will come and steal him away. And tell the people that he has risen from the dead, and the last deception and fraud will be worse than the first. And I can tell you this, if you are going to be a true servant of God, a time will come when people will call you fraud. Not because you have done anything. The other thing they will say about you is that they will say you are wicked. If you are principled and you hold on to the word, they will say you are wicked because you are not bending it. Praise the Lord. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers, take them and go. Make it as secure as you can. Account has it that a boulder, if you read further, a boulder of stone was now rolled to cover it, to cover the entrance of the tomb. But let me tell you something, nothing could hold Jesus back. Nothing could stop him. Because it's been said of him, and it's been settled in heaven, that he was going to rise on the third day. It was because there was a misunderstanding of the kind of kingdom he was talking about. They thought that physical measures could stop him. And I'm telling you, as your life remains in Jesus Christ, the devices of men will never stop you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every physical constraint, every wisdom of man, will not be enough to stop you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because once God has decided that he wants to do something, he will do it. Numbers 23:19, we all know it. He said, for God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken? Will he not make it good? The Lord will make it good on your behalf in Jesus' name. Every promise in Christ is here and amen. You will testify to the goodness of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. As we close, your election is not based on how good you are. It's not based on your prowess, your wisdom, your power. It is because somebody chose to pay the price. And if there's anyone who understood the importance and the immense grace that Jesus purchased for us, it's Paul. It's Paul. Open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Dear Paul, but by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I work harder than all of them, the apostles. Though it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was with me. That grace will be with you in Jesus' name. So the calling and the election of God is not based on our abilities. Because God decided to call you and I. And he called us, everyone he called, everyone he saved, he also gave a call to and an assignment. When Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, telling them to go into all the world and preach this same gospel, if we appreciate him, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus being with us means we are in the business of the kingdom. We are doing the kingdom business, and he says his presence will go with us. all that Jesus has suffered. He has commissioned you. How do we show that we appreciate him? How do you repay him for all that he has done? Is it the mockery? Is it the rejection? Is it the abandonment? Is it the shame? Is it the nail? Is it the bleeding? Is it the pain? What do we want to think of? For someone who has suffered so much on behalf of us, for our sake, and one simple thing he tells us to do, he said, go out there, tell others about me. What will you do with this message? What will you do with this message? Because the freedom of someone, their liberty, their breakthrough, depends on you taking the gospel to them. It's not a free lunch. It was fully paid for. Let's rise on our feet. Let us thank God for today. Let's thank God who paid for it all. He didn't pay half price, he paid the full price. It was not a co-payment, he paid everything. He gave it all that was needed. All that hell required of him, he gave. All that hell wanted, Jesus paid. Why don't you just thank God for a life in Jesus Christ? Why don't you just bless his name? For someone who endured such contradiction of men, for someone who conquered the grave and gave you victory, that is why you can begin to do things you couldn't do before. To break the chains that held you down hitherto. If Jesus had not risen, we will have no testimony. Thank you, Daddy. You did it all for me. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do to repay you? There is nothing except just to show my gratitude, Lord. You paid it all on the cross of Calvary. You paid it all on the cross of Calvary. You did it all for me, O God. You had me in mind, O God. My Daddy and my God, you are the Lord. You have me in your plans. Blessed be your name, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we know it cost you something. Your love for us cost you something. It cost you your throne. You left your throne. And you have been a little lower than an angel. You took on the form of a man, fallible, weak, prone to emotions, afflicted, derided, and shamed. But Lord, you thought of the joy that was to follow, and you did it all for us. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We haven't even resisted unto death, and yet we complain. Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Our Daddy and our God, from today we are moving forward in a new and in a strange way, because your Holy Spirit will direct our lives from henceforth in the name of Jesus. Every price we need to pay, oh God, we will pay it in the name of Jesus. Lord, when we think of watching you from afar, your spirit will quicken our mortal bodies. We will come close to you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.